Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two people having crazy conversations?
Yeah, well, we are those people. We've been having these conversations since college.
Yep, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts podcast, Married at First Sight, Season 16, Nashville, Tennessee, Episode 15 Recap. Be sure to like, subscribe, rate, and leave a review.
Is it 15 or 14?
15.
Okay. I lose track. It's okay when we find out it's 14, it's okay. You can tell me I'm right.
No, it's 15.
Okay. I'm just making sure.
Yeah.
Look, Profound Thinking said, good evening, Terrell and Yandi. I'm not sure who that is. But, hey, frat, did you get a good steak when you went to Arizona?
I sure did. There's a place. So I went to two steak places. One, I think, was called Rustler's Roost or something like that. It's a really kind of unique looking place. And outside of the restaurant, they have this big pen that has a bull in it. Mm-hmm. And the bull is like pushing around the ball. Live bull.
Oh, okay.
Just pushing around the ball. And I'm looking at this and I'm like, I don't know what kind of woke bullshit this is. I'm still going to come in here and eat a steak. This is not going to make me not want to eat one. I'm still going to. And then that was Tuesday night. And then Wednesday night, went to this place called Steak 44, not State 48. Because there's a lot of things in Arizona that's based around 48 states, but Steak 44, slamming.
Dope.
It was so good. That New York strip just melted in your mouth, man. It was good. Thumbs up.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear it. Shout out to everybody checking in the live chat. I just want to point this out real quick, man, because every time I try to be nice to alphas, they just go mess stuff up. There's no way there's an N is somewhere bad or close to a D on the keyboard. What keyboard do y'all have? Explain to me.
So I want to be able to point out the difference. I want to be able to point out the difference about the high ground alphas take. Not once do I go after every other organization.
Publicly. Oh, yes, you do.
Publicly. I don't do it publicly, but you tend to try to enjoy it like it's going to get a rise out of me or out of them.
I'm trying.
Or no, out of them.
It's really you. It's only you.
It doesn't bother me. That's why I just take the high ground, because there's not a whole lot to be proud of your organization. So you just got to try to point out negative stuff for hours. And that's fine. Do what you got to do for yourself. I get it.
Hey, Profound, I'm just having fun with you, man. Oh, man, I love it. Because, trust me, here's the problem, though. It's not like I'm trying to go after your guys at all. I mean, I didn't bring up Marshall.
We're the only ones you go after, so yes, you are trying.
No, but you're the ones that are on TV, on these dating shows, getting slaughtered by the spouses. So, I mean, that's not on me. I mean, is it me? Is it me questioning anything about Marshall, or is it Jacquelina? Is it me questioning anything about Shaquille, or is that Kirsten? All right, I'm just saying. Leave me alone.
Well, I don't think they've done a dating show yet that probably would be more attractive to Kappas.
Well, they did.
I don't think I've seen one yet.
We had our own. You just didn't watch it. Love and Hip Hop. Trust me. Rich Dollars is a Kappa, and he did not make us look good either. So we all got our bad eggs, just like the police. Let's just be fair about this, okay? We got good ones and bad ones. You just don't let the bad ones take over the good ones. That's all.
There you go.
All right, so let's get this thing started, man, because a lot happening on this episode. And thank you, everybody, for joining us on this Saturday evening. There's so much more to do, and you can still do it as we get through this pretty fast. You can go enjoy the rest of the night, or as the old folks say, well, at least tuck it in for the night, right?
No. Yes. Yeah. Is that what the old folks? I don't know if I'm there yet. Am I considered the old folks now?
Yeah, you're definitely old folks.
Well, I mean, I don't fall out of golf carts.
I'm feeling better today. Thank you for asking. I'm feeling better today. Asshole.
Learn that lesson.
Oh, okay. You know what? Let's just get this thing started, man. Eris and Jasmine. We all asked what Devin Franklin would do being on the show when he showed up last season. And here he is with Eris and Jasmine. He met with them individually, right? And first he met with Jasmine. And that's when we find out that Jasmine had a breakdown when she was with the girls and telling them, you know, what's really happening in her relationship with Eris.
Yeah. And, I'm glad that she got to tell him that. And then I loved... when he asked her, have you expressed to Eris the same things you've expressed to the women? And she's like, well, no. And I'm like, well, okay, that's probably a good place to start that conversation. And then, she, you know, I like that dialogue they had back and forth. And he says, where she brings up that she's scared to ask him these things because of fear of what he'll say. And he's like, hey, your task is not to figure out what he's feeling. Your task is to communicate what you want. I thought that was great. Great advice from him.
You know, it really was. And I will say, the thing that really stood out to me was when Jasmine said she's never seen her parents handle conflict. And that to me kind of raised some red flags, right? And it says a lot because it's, or maybe she just, and I say that red flags in a sense that maybe she just didn't pay attention to that part of it, right? Because obviously if they had conflict, they handled it, right? But right. maybe just not in front of her, which you're not supposed to really handle that stuff in front of your kids anyway, right? Or am I wrong?
No, I would agree. I mean, you shouldn't have grown up watching your parents fight and argue. Some of us have. And for some people, it gave them their perceptions of what relationships should be. So I don't know what happened in that marriage. Mm-hmm. But what I thought was odd is that the 3 years, that was like, what, 10 years ago? 12 right. years ago, being bullied in middle school, high school,
right?
That's still with you.
Yes.
And she didn't share that with any of her family. She was going through that, but Jesus, that was, look how far you've come, how many pageants you've won. You know, I just don't get it. Back to your point on Michael B. Jordan. He got picked on too, but I think he's doing all right.
Yeah. Here you go. Oh boy. Here you go.
That was good. That was good.
Yeah. I'm gonna leave that one alone and just keep moving. So Devin met with Eris on 101, right? And Eris told him that the lack of physical attraction is the biggest barrier to their relationship. Is it really? Or that he just doesn't like her?
Well, he doesn't like her because he's not physically attracted to her. So yes, it is the biggest challenge in their relationship. And when Devon is talking to Eris about that, he asked, do you want to become more attracted to her? And Eris said, he does, but people can't change. You know, like I can't become taller or whatever. So there's physical features about Jasmine that he just doesn't like.
Right.
And there's not a thing that she can do about it. There's not a thing that anyone can do about it. It should be a wrap. I don't know why we're going through this conversation with them.
High Vibe says it. Married at First Sight should have a waste of time clause. Well, you know, this has been a waste of my time. Let me get the hell out of here. You know, I agree because at this point, we're all saying the same thing, right? And you know, something to be says this right here, though. I think Eris's rejection triggered Jasmine's feelings of being as a child, and she shut down like she did, you know. Put on a face to mask that pain, which is what she's been doing. Because one thing she told Devin was that she hasn't been saying anything and she's been bottling it all up. Well, Eris, on the other hand, while he's out there, he says that he finds, because Devin asks him, well, what do you find appealing about her? Since you said, you know, there's an attraction deficit here. What do you find appealing? Let's go into another part of the A section of the dictionary. what do you find appealing? And Eris admits that, you know, he finds her passion.
She got the job. Yes. She likes to do stuff that keeps her out the house away from me.
Okay, you heard the same thing I heard.
Yeah. she does a lot of things that keeps her busy, so I don't have to be bothered. Mm. So that's what he meant by all that stuff that he found appealing.
You know, it's funny how he asked if he asked him, are you putting in enough into this marriage? Are you putting as much into your marriage as you are your job? Because, you know, he really loves his job. He loves this. And, you know, are you doing that much? He said, no, because I can say no on decision day and walk away. But if I don't put enough into my job, I still got to pay for my house. I got to pay for my car. I got to pay for my...
But that's reality. That's
Wait a minute. Don't tell me you agree with him on this now.
No. I agree with where he's feeling right now. People that get married in the conventional world, they build that time to where your job is not more important than your spouse. Right? But in this situation, on this show, season 16, Eris and Jasmine, he is not feeling her whatsoever. There's nothing that she can do to make him. So what is he going to do? I'm going to make sure my job is good because after these few weeks left, I know I'm going to have that.
Right.
Why do I want to put more effort into something I don't want? And even the conversations and helping her open up more, there's nothing she can open up enough to make him be attracted to her ever.
So Profound Thinking says, Eris tried his best not to tell Devin he doesn't like her. Devin knows he was lying when he told Eris that he heard good things about him. Cap. Then you got Adrian B says, Eris just needs to stand up and end it. He's not interested and has no intention of trying anything yet. He's putting on for the cameras now. He made sure, all right, let me put up this wall first for the first 6 weeks, and then I can pretend like I'm trying for the rest of the time. Because even when Devin said to him, like, you know, he said, oh, well, you know, I asked questions she wouldn't get. Well, did you ask any follow-up questions? And only thing he didn't say was, no, because I don't care. Which is not been the most honest answer.
I ain't worried about all that.
I don't need to hear that. I asked you one question. That's not enough. You know, Katera says, Eris has told everyone in so many ways that he doesn't like Jasmine. Jasmine's just being delusional by staying. We keep seeing every week that we do a recap of this show, everyone's saying that she needs to just walk away, right? Now, one thing I did like, and Devin gave some good advice in this episode. He said, he told Eris, do not allow physical attraction to be a crutch. And then Eris says that he doesn't want to have regret for not trying. Do you believe him?
No.
Okay, just checking.
Yeah, he's going through the motions. He's saying all these things. He has no interest in Jasmine. We all see it. Jasmine knows it, but she still keeps hanging on to a glimmer of hope that all of a sudden he's going to wake up.
Yeah.
I want to go to Pound Town. I can't wait till we talk about that.
Oh, Jesus. I can't believe we just got there already. I cannot believe we got there already. All right. Before we get to Pound Town, let's get to Shaq and Kirsten. And we first see, you know, Kirsten and realize that she has the laziest workout ever. Ever.
I texted you on that. I was like, I call BS. That's like, are we about to film? Wait, come down here real quick. How's my luck? You ready? I'm only do three.
Look, she's struggling with them 5 pound weights.
And even breathing, I'm like, are you seriously breathing with 5 pounds? You got two staplers in your hand. Stop it.
I just want to point this out too, right? Because, you know, people gave us a hard time in the Ready to Love recap when I talked about Cynthia's use of the wrong tense that irks me, right? I finally figured it out as to what it is with Kirsten and Shaq too, because Kirsten also has horrible use of tenses. As she was talking on the phone, she's like, well, I always tell him how he feel is important to me. And just to be fair, so you don't think we're picking on the women, Shaq is just as bad. So maybe that's why they matched them, because he's like, do anybody see me? I'm just saying. I'm just going to say this. If the wrong tense irks me on one show and it shows up on another show, if it irks me on the black show, I'm going to talk about it on the white show too, okay? I'm just going to say
I don't want to laugh, but that was funny.
And look, while we're here, don't come for me in the comment section if your grandma isn't on point either, right? Because by that I mean, if you're not using the proper word, like, you know, your and your, the wrong your, don't do it. Because I'm going to come back and get you too.
I think it's just the Southern drawl that makes them sound like that.
Do not put that on the South. Do not put that on the South.
And okay, I'll say in the comments, if I reply to people's comments and my grammar's off, it's because I'm doing it from my phone and stop I don't it. Give a shit. Mm-mm. So,
nope.
You know that you comment to me and I comment back and my grammar's off. I'm not like him over here.
Yeah, okay. I know all the conversations we have. Rochelle, thank you for the super chat. She says Kirsten talks in slow motion. Yes, she does, and still can't get it right. That's a problem. You slow down, so I'm gonna stop. All right, let's get back to the conversation she was having with Shaq's mom, Nina. Nina told her how disappointed Shaq was that Kirsten didn't go on a trip with him. And of course, she came up with her regular excuses, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think Shaq's mom can read through Kirsten's BS.
Yes.
And she's just like, you need to do more. You need to be more supportive. Well, I'm going to do the best thing that's in, I'm going to do what's in my power, my control, and give it the best that I can. You need to do more. Mm-hmm. And she probably does. You all, I mean, it's been known. I've said I'm not a Kirsten fan by any means because she reminds me of somebody that I just can't stand. You know, I'm hoping that the mom recognizes, the mom knows her son. She knows what her son needs. I don't think what her son needs is what Kirsten can provide.
Well, let's be real, though. And Angie made a great point. He pouts every episode. Shaq literally pouts. I mean, that one, when he acted like an eight-year-old who didn't get to have dessert before dinner when he was on FaceTime. It was kind of bad. Here's the thing I don't like about this part, though. Like, his mom is doing all the talking for him. No, these are the conversations Shaq needs to be having with her. Okay? The mom doesn't need to be she's overstepping the boundaries in this case, I think.
I thought it was interesting that they had that conversation because I agree. I think Shaq should have had that. Now, I'm wondering, maybe Shaq and Kirsten have tried to have those conversations, but because of their communication challenges, maybe if she heard it from someone different, maybe Shaq thought that would help. But I wouldn't want my mom to call my fiance and be like, hey, I talked to Terrell.
See, I know you
he
would.
He said... Exactly. He told me about those eggs you made, and I just want to give you some feedback. Like,
I would tell you how he likes his eggs.
I wouldn't want any of that.
Like High Vibe says, what grown man complains to his mama about his wife? No, you keep that in the house. And if you're looking for advice, you ask for advice, but not in that manner where you complain about everything she's doing, right? Dallas Boss, I'm not even going to read that one out loud. I'm just going to let everybody who's listening on the regular favorite podcast.
Wow.
To come and check it out on the live and see, read it in the live chat.
Wow.
And see again, this is not, look, to your frat Charles, I'm not the one saying all this, you know, this is Nubian saying Shaq is Mr. Metro Needy, see?
Well, and I'm going to address some of that because I have been a Shaq supporter.
Yes, you have.
The whole time. From not the very just because, beginning. Not just because he's an alpha, but I like the guy. But there is something that happened tonight where I'm like, okay, now I'm going to have to get him. I'm going to have to get him. So we'll get to that when we get to the dinner with the couples.
Okay. Oh, you know what? Thank you. About time. You came to the dark side. And let's be honest. We'll get to that part when we'll find out that Shaq's mama is the one who obviously got Shaq them draws. But we get to the whiskey tasting, and Counselor Nicole went to work on Jasmine and Eris. The first serving of whiskey came out, the first tasting, and she went to work already. You know, being vulnerable makes you strong, which is something that she learned through the process.
You see, people like her annoy me because she's the type of person to go to a therapist, get a therapy session to break down her shit, and then try to apply that to other people. And say, well, you know, what you should do is this. You need to stop trying to play counselor and leader of the pack. But that's the role I think the producers have asked her to do. But it's annoying to see her do that. Yeah, it's just annoying to say, because you know she's dealing with all kind of stuff.
Yes.
But to come out very preachy to other folks, I'm not a big fan. But at least they were all very supportive of Jasmine.
Yes.
When that whole conversation, when she was talking about what she felt. And so I thought it started out.
It started a great conversation.
Pretty good.
The one that Clint said, where, you know, his friend was suffering in silence. Then, your boy, I thought that was a vulnerable moment. And I will say this about Shaq. It takes a strong man to be able to share that kind of stuff. To say the things that he said there in that moment, I thought was big of him, right? Because that's not easy to share with people that, hey, this is what I was going through mentally.
Mm-mm. No, it's not. And I've been in the exact same place in 2020 where I was having those type of thoughts too. And I was able to talk to people about it. And I get it. right? And it was bold of him to do on national TV because yes. a lot of people maybe that didn't know him. Mm-hmm. And I know what it's like to feel like everyone thinks your world is okay right. when it's really not. And so I think a lot of people can relate to that. After that part is where it went down south. For me, after that part where it went down south, because it got quiet at the table, which of course that would. I mean, that's almost yeah. everybody at that table has been impacted by suicide. Yeah. So all of them are realizing what Shaq was going through.
Right.
Then you have Counselor Nicole that's like, you know, hey, let me try to close the loop. Shaq, everything you shared. And all that's so great.
Yes.
And Kirsten, I don't mean to speak for you, but, you know, I'm sure Kirsten's just like,
Kirsten could have said something better, though.
She could have said something, but she did rub his leg and rub his back, I guess, is what she said. So when they stormed out, when Shaq stormed out, I thought Shaq was hurt because of the conversation. And so I was like, okay, this is interesting. Let's see what they're going to talk about out there. Because I agree. I felt that she should have said something, mm-hmm. you know, right there in that moment.
Right.
But then we go back to this whole missing Memphis thing.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh, goodness. Jesus Christ. Shut it down.
He's too needy,
man. You
had
the conversation. Well, and because here's the thing in that conversation there happened. He was upset because he found out he's not graduating on time. Now, let me pause there for a second. Every academic I know, and even myself, I knew when I was graduating and when I wasn't. So I always find it odd how somebody's like, oops, I'm not graduating on time. You know when the classes are offered. You know what semesters you got to take. So I always challenge anybody that throws that out, but I digress. So after that, she's talking about how the support and all that stuff. I want her to be there and you weren't there for me. And I'm like, you know what? Why do you need someone down with you all the time? I've been in recruiting for 17 years. I've not had one girlfriend show up to a job fair and I'm fine. I don't need you to see me doing my job. I don't need you to see me interviewing people. I don't understand what he needs from her. I just don't get it.
You answered the question before I even asked it, because I was going to ask you. I made a note to ask you, is Shaq being too, because you are Shaq's cheerleader. You got your pom-poms. you got your black and gold pom-poms ready to go. But because, you know, the thing about it is, like, it's he didn't find out he was going to graduate on time. He's like, well, I needed you there then. Because she's like, no, I was there before the honeymoon. Important that is. And delayed the honeymoon to go with you for this. So I thought, so I'm glad to hear you say that. But again, shout out to Rochelle, who got another super chat. Thank you very much. Says maybe Shaq wants Kirsten to go to work with him to show his students that he is, in fact. So stop it.
See? Wrong. But I just don't understand. Why do you need to have your person with you? You know, I've never brought a girlfriend like, hey, come to my job. So everyone, I have done that a couple times in my life. Yeah, when I lived in Kansas City, I did it once. And that was a bad girlfriend. She cheated on me. I probably shouldn't have showed her anybody. And then once when I lived in Nebraska, that was because she came to see me. And
do we need to call Nicole here for a therapy session?
I know. Hey, Nicole, can you just let some stuff off my chest? I just got some trauma that came up from, you know, 2003 that I need to share with you.
Well, Kirsten tells Shaq she needs him to be assertive. And, it's one of those things. Eris suggests, well, why don't you just tell her, pack your shit. You're going. And she was like, yeah.
Yeah.
But that work, he's like, yeah.
I was like, yes. Why didn't you do that? He's like, all right, we'll try that next time.
Eric's like, let me get a week with her. I'll show you how this is supposed to work.
He said, let me teach you something real quick.
But then, you know, here's the thing about this. So she brings up the thing about him being assertive. Everybody's bringing that up. So then he goes, you want me to be assertive? She goes, well, be assertive. And then he announced to the group that, you know, they went to what part of America did they go to?
Pound Town.
Exactly. Yo, but why? Here's the thing about this. Here's what's so the misogynistic part of it and the fact that everybody just felt so sorry for him is that he got dapped because they consummated the marriage. No, not one time did any of those women dap up Kirsten. They probably just gave it a look. She was like, it wasn't all that.
But I don't think women dap each other up. They were all like, oh, you know how girls make the high noises. And the dudes are like, that's what's up. You know, that's kind of a norm. But what I didn't like about that is, don't come on the reality show and try to bring us this fake bullshit. You've been acting like y'all haven't done it. Kirsten acting like she's all prim and proper. She probably went down day one. But if you did, you did. Mm-hmm. Who cares? Y'all are all adults. You're not teenagers on a show and you don't want your parents to find out you had sex. You're freaking grown. Act like it. You know, but I just filmed the whole acting like they didn't and lying. Shaq the other week, you know, I've gotten to second base. But no, you had already hit it before y'all had that conversation. Kirsten, like, well, you know, if he would try, and I would be okay with doing it, making it sound like he's not doing anything. Just stop with the fakeness.
Or just do like other couples have done before. You know what? We're keeping that within our household. We're keeping that in our bedroom. What we're doing is our business, because I don't need none of y'all all up in our stuff. Okay?
Well, then don't go on a TV show if you want to keep stuff in your business.
Oh, Jesus. Here you go.
Don't go on a TV show if you want to. Don't go on a TV show. Don't go to politics. Don't become a celebrity. If you want to keep your life private, don't do things that are in the public.
You know, here's the thing. I agree with High Vibe on this one. That was not assertive. It was petty. He really embarrassed Kirsten with that announcement. Now, you're not going to agree on this. You're going to say that it was an embarrassment, right?
That he announced that they had sex?
Yeah.
No, I don't think it was an embarrassment. I think she's been embarrassing him the whole time. Yeah, because she's made it sound like he's not aggressive enough and he's not doing enough. Mm-hmm. He has been. And so this whole time, he's sitting there listening to this bullshit week after week and just trying to sit there and try to play nice. There's no way in hell. Couldn't be me. I couldn't do that.
Dallas Boss 88, you off the chain. Shaq bedroom game week. He didn't get a warm chow, no glass of water after. Like, y'all are so wrong for this, man. And Profile Thinker had a great point. Aris acted like he was living through Shaq. He was standing up clapping like, that's what I would have done.
If I was with Kirsten, is what Aris is saying. That's what I would do if I was with Kirsten. Jasmine, don't get no ideas tonight. Still ain't going to touch you.
Yeah, don't you think nothing's going to happen?
Yeah, don't you think?
Which is perfect timing, because here's a segue into they get to learn this line dance. And let me tell you something. I mean, if you know this because you live in Texas, right? And I know it's because went to college in Texas, and at least started college in Texas. And then
you were the one that taught me how to do the boot scoot and boogie. Remember
you're
that?
You're doggone right, because I was 17 when I went to college. You know the club I could get into? The country club. So we all went there.
Yeah, but you were 18 when you met me. Just throwing that out there. So you were boot scooting for a year before you taught me how to do it.
But here's the other point, though. Since you want to go all that route, remember, we all used to go. So don't act like you weren't in there.
No, I was.
But we see the line dancing, and you know, it's the one thing, you know, those line dancers get. We know we have some complex ones. They taught them the easy country one. And then, of course, everybody starts dancing with their mate. But before we get to them dancing with their mates, Clint, what do you think of Clint's moves? Clint was trying to get down, wasn't he?
Clint's out there having fun. I like people that can get out on the dance floor and live your best life without worrying about what other people are thinking about it. Mm-hmm. So I admire people like that. I was like, Clint, you get down and do you.
Yes. And even though, like, yo, I love Clint, because he doesn't care what anybody else is thinking. But then, of course, Aris is out there dancing, Jasmine's standing off to the side, and then the instructor starts dancing with Aris, and she just, I'm done. And this, okay, I know we say that she needs to just leave him. You don't need to make the announcement. Walk out. That to me was the childish middle school. That was when she reverted to those days again. And well, I'm done and I'm out. And she kept saying it over and over again as she's walking out. Unnecessary, seriously.
Well, and they were standing next to each other, and Jasmine wasn't dancing. Mm-hmm. Aris was just kind of moving, and the instructor walked up and grabbed his hand and pulled him out onto the dance floor. That's all that happened. Ain't like he went out doing it. And if Jasmine was that bothered, then why didn't you just go cut in? Hey, girl, I got this. And jump on in. It wasn't like Eris was trying to holler. So the whole I'm out in the tantrum, the storm out that she did. Mm-hmm. I agree with Eris that, you know, he felt all that really wasn't warranted to do that. And he's out there, look, she's not even my type. And well, why you dance with her? Like, A, like he's cheating on you because he ain't touched you.
Yeah.
You know, so what?
what do you do? It's like something B says, this isn't middle school. This isn't a middle school dance. Just dance. House of Beauty says Jasmine wanted to be chased. And that's exactly what happened, because he did chase her. Because she acted like, oh, I'm ready to leave. I'm ready to leave. Nah, I mean, you know. And like High Vibe says, Jasmine today was another powder. Seriously.
I don't think she wanted to be chased. I think the producers chased after her.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see Eris later, where I'm sure they're like, Eris, would you come talk to her, please? Because Eris was just like, oh, she good. And was just going to keep on dancing.
I see you when you get back.
Yeah. Bring me a beer on your way back, babe.
So they have the conversation outside. They get in the car. They leave. Do you think, okay, well, argument, first time makeup sex, do you think that was happening? Or any kind of anything, cuddling, anything?
No.
Yeah, neither did I.
No,
and it was proven when we got there. We saw him, you know, laid out on the couch.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I like I said, there's a reason that Eris does not want to even touch Jasmine. I don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. Only Eris knows. But I knew there wasn't going to be any makeup sex happening about that at all.
Now, OK, so a couple of things here, because Jerry says, I thought Eris took the instructor's hand.
The instructor reached out and grabbed, you know, did like this. And so he grabbed her hand and then pulled it out. But she initiated the whole thing. Eris didn't. I know because I just watched it an hour ago.
Mm-hmm.
So it's fresh in my mind because I was just like, what happened? And why'd you? I'm thinking he was like grinding up on the girl or something like that. I'm like, there was nothing happening.
Right. And Awaken 11 says, he apologized. Does that count?
Well, apparently not to her. I mean, to Eris is like, we good now? Like, I think she was still upset. And when they woke up the next day and getting ready for their meeting with Dr. Pepper,
mm-hmm.
you know, I can tell she was still mad.
Oh, yeah, she's definitely still mad. And that's when she told Dr. Pepper, you know, she's no longer hiding her emotions, no longer not showing her emotions, which is why she stormed out. So she gave explanations as to why, because it's like, okay, well, I'm no longer hiding my emotions anymore. I'm not just hiding behind this facade. I'm going to say what I feel. Well, you didn't. Actually, you just stormed out. You didn't say what you felt till he came after, till the producers made him come out after you because he wasn't coming.
Yeah, I mean, it's great that you want to find your voice, but mm-hmm. you're still not using it because right. Dr. Pepper's just like, okay, so let me just ask. We're not playing games here.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a possibility for this marriage or not?
Yeah.
And, you know, goes commercial, comes right back. She asks the question, do you see a possibility for this marriage? Why does Eris keep saying yes?
Because he's not ready to leave yet.
The fact that he said yes.
Yes.
It gives Jasmine some hope. Like, oh.
You saw her face light up when he said
yes.
That? Oh, my
God. Yeah, goodness. She had that big smile like, oh, there is a God. Won't he do it? You know, she was thinking that everything is going to be good. It's like, no, he's going to keep making you look this bad. Yeah. At that point, I feel Jasmine should have said, no, there's no possibility of this marriage. With the 2 weeks we have left, it's not going to happen.
So here's the thing that happened too, because, you know, I think Dr. Pepper asked him what's it like, communication like during the day? And she's like, if she doesn't text Eris first, she won't hear from him during the day, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I didn't think this was really the solution or the proper solution. If so, it's something she should have told him on the side, which is, you know, make an appointment in your phone, put an alert in your phone to remind you to call your wife and ask, or text your wife and ask her how she's doing. I'm like, that's not something you say in front of her, though.
Okay. That whole thing bothered me because I'm watching this and I think to myself, okay, when a man does not reach out to you, want to connect with you, you have to always text him and see how he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
It usually means two things.
Yes.
You're the side chick and he's married and he's busy. or he don't like you. So
yes.
Ladies, if you are dating a guy and you're having to be the one to always text, reach out, call, plan stuff, you're not a priority for him. You're an option and he doesn't really like you. And if a man has to program a 2 p.m. every day just to remind him to say, hey, babe, how's your day?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Okay. Let's just point this out. This goes both ways too, because whenever there's doubt, what do? If you feel like this, I notice I'm the one always starting the conversation. Let me not say anything. See how long this goes. In 2-3 days, you move on.
Well, then I know. Then they bump it to you out and about. You're like, oh, hey.
Hey, stranger. You
good to see you. And then that's when they text you, hey.
Give them a high five.
Just want to say it was really good seeing you at the bar last night. Yeah, no, I'm not interested.
Nah.
But I think that is just ridiculous. And the fact that Jasmine is, I just think it adds 2 more weeks of pain for her.
Mm-hmm.
But there's just no way any man is interested in a woman, he will text, call, or annoy the shit out of you. If he's not reaching out at all,
mm-hmm.
he doesn't want you.
So Rochelle hit us with another super chat. Thank you again for the super chat. Always appreciated. And says, serious question. Do you think his real problem is her teeth?
Mm. See, this is how you get us to answer some real stuff, huh?
Right? Yeah. With a super chat.
Because now we got to put our opinion out. It's like, ooh, how do we?
We've avoided this all season long.
Okay. I am not going to, I don't think it's her teeth.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and let me just say this, I don't think it's how her teeth look.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think you can get over that. They've been around each other so much this whole time that you could easily get over that. Now, maybe you're first meeting somebody across the bar, you'd be like, no, I saw her smile. I don't think it's the teeth. Now, what if she has like halitosis? I don't know what her dental hygiene is like. And so for some guys, that could be the turnoff. What if her just in general, like maybe it's sometimes your pheromones, you know, the guy's just not feeling it. But I don't think it's the way her teeth look.
Yeah.
But I think it could have to do maybe, you know, because whenever they talk, he's never really face-to-face talking with her, and we always judge that. He's always off to the side. And
right.
So I'm wondering, does she maybe have some, you know, gingivitis or something in there that needs to get worked on?
Well, you know, and that's the part of it. Because, I mean, and the problem is the TV, they do these close-ups anyway. Because even Rochelle says, you know, he doesn't even want to kiss her. Yeah. And that's why... We're thinking it's probably the halitosis, right? It probably is that, because that's part of it at times. And that'll stop anybody from wanting to kiss somebody, because, hell, bad breath is a bad thing. So, I don't know. I'm with you on this one, man. Now, you know, there are a couple other things in here. Like Lucy B said, so height, he referenced height twice at the altar. And with Dr. Cal, High Vibe says it's her body type. She doesn't have a wagon. Well, you know, Dr. Miami, he can get that taken care of, even though I'm not a fan of people doing that. You know, I mean... Nowadays it's like on the regular, go to the Mattel store and get hooked up. You know, other people have said, let's see, Dallas Boss says, I think it's her body type as well too. So and Celery says, you know, you got a point. I turn aside when talking to people with halitosis too. Yeah, because those people usually try to step closer to you when you're talking to me.
Mm-hmm.
You find yourself moonwalking away, and it's like you're doing the tango or something, because you step back, they step forward, you take 2 steps back, they take 2 steps forward, you're like, Jesus, what are you doing? I'm trying to get away.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I really don't think it's just the... Because I think that'd be too easy. But I think over the amount of time that they've spent together, I can't imagine that is the one thing that stopped them. Because I'm sorry, we've all kissed somebody and maybe had a jacked up mouth at some point.
Indigo Blue 50 says, maybe it's all those dogs. That could be it too.
The dogs aren't with them though. I mean, it'd be one thing if they moved into her house and there's... whole bunch of dogs all over. I don't think that's it.
And it's not like, you know, I made a big deal about the dog here and all that, but, you know, they're golden doodles, so they don't shed. So it's obviously not the dog here.
So then you can get a golden doodle.
Yeah.
If I brought a golden doodle into your house, you'd be okay with it.
As long as you take it back with you.
Have it jump up on your bed with my suitcase, put it on your bed. The dog.
Well, then both of y'all be out in the trash can at the curb. All three of y'all. You the golden doodle and the luggage. as we get to our next couple here, Clint and Gina. And, you know, one of the things we've noticed over the last couple of weeks, man, a lot of people, and we've said this ever since the honeymoon, Clint, a lot of people are saying they like Clint. And not just the women, even the guys, we like Clint. Clint is just, he seems like a cool dude. He's not trying to be somebody else. He knows who he is. You know, that's what, he got down jamming at the hoedown and was like, you know, having a good time. And as we saw when we first introduced them in this week's episode, he's up there cooking for Gina. And he says, you know, Chef Clint says he likes cooking for people he cares about.
Well,
and my thought was, but here he is cooking for lazy ass Gina.
Hey, I've cooked for roommates before too. There's nothing wrong with cooking for your roommate. And I think that's what they are, just good roommates.
Right.
But I don't know about you all, but I really wanted to try that catfish po' boy because it looked good. It looked like he knew what he was doing frying that catfish. So, here's the note that I made about this part before they meet with Dr. Pepper. So Clint, you know, he likes to cook. He deep into sailing.
Mm-hmm.
He's involved in all these other things that I really don't know a lot about what he does for a living.
Right.
Right. But there's all these other things he's into. We still don't know much about Gina besides he has the salon.
Right.
You know? And so I'm like, it'd be interesting to see a side of Gina where she's doing something for Clint that has nothing to do with a salon.
And that's, you see, so that's the difference between them because she's all about work. That's her entire identity, right? While Clint is like, yeah, I have a job, but I have a life. And that's what he's showing, which is all he's asking her to show at some point or another, right? I do think he's kind of, if you ask me, I think he's kind of breaking down her walls somewhat. But by the time she finally comes around, which is going to be after this thing's all over, he's going to be moved on to somebody better who will actually appreciate him because his DMs are probably overflowing right now. And not only with people who like sailing, but you know, we've seen a number of sisters in here talking about, hey, I date Clint.
And I'm sure what's going to happen, my prediction is at the reunion, she's going to try to dog him because she's going to realize all the smoke that she's been getting through Twitter and social, how everybody really is a big fan of Clint. She's going to try to change our perspective or perception of him at the reunion. My gut tells me that.
Audrey says, I am still team Gina. This is the first person I've seen in a long time say that. So,
What do you drink, Audrey, when you are on you're watching the show? Because I need some recommendations.
I need something stronger. So what is it? So Dr. Pepper meets with Clint and Gina, right? Dr. Pepper suggests that they open up emotionally, which obviously is the same thing that we've just said that Gina has not done at all. And even in the sense of, well, you know, do you, what is he like and what do you like? And suggest that maybe Gina cook for him. And he's like, well, he does all the cooking. Yeah, well, how about you do the cooking for him this time? Show him the things. Because she asked about their love languages and found out what it is that they really like.
Mm-hmm. So Gina, you know, likes affirmations and wants to hear she's done a good job. I'm like, well, you got to do something to be told you've done a good job. So you just can't sit still and somebody be like, good job. So yeah. You got to do something. But I don't think there isn't enough affirmation that Clint could give her to make Gina like him. This is another couple that's wasting our time. They're just going through the motions to get through the process. Gina's been done since the honeymoon.
Yes.
And we had to watch it. And then
she was done since the wedding.
Yeah. When Dr. Pepper asked them to hold hands, you ever been in church and they tell you to bow your head, hold hands with your neighbor, and you know you don't want to hold hands with that neighbor, but you're like, God, I hope this prayer is short. That's what they look like when they were sitting there holding hands. It's like, oh, shit. We can do this.
Exactly. No. Why not like that? Waffle style. Rochelle, thank you again for the other super chat. It says, Gina looks like Lola on Shark Tale. And Dallas Boss has a question about Team Gina. He's like, oh, you're talking about the Martin reunion. The other Gina. And so to be like, not Lola now. Yeah, that's crazy, man. Look, Devin sits down and meets with Shaq and Kirsten. And as we get to this couple again, he asks Shaq if he feels supported in the marriage. And of course, Shaq says no. And what does Kirsten say? Well, yeah, I have shown support. What are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. So yeah. Go ahead and defend Shaq in this one. Go ahead.
I'm not going to defend Shaq in this one. I think the type of support that he's looking for, to me, he's looking for a right-hand man or mm-hmm. something like that to be working with. This is your wife. She doesn't have to be watch you give presentations for you to feel good. And mm-hmm. it's not like, I don't know. I mean, maybe for some people, they get turned on watching their spouse work. I've never seen any person I know work and be like, ooh, I'm so ready watching her the way she's on that conference call. Mm. Whatever. I just don't see the big deal in that. But I did like when Devin said unspoken expectations are relationship killers. Mm. And I think that it's so true that you yes. have to be able to say what you want. And mm-hmm. this is something I wish I'd have learned to be able to do in my 20s or 30s, because I probably would have been married and stuff by now had I been able to communicate better. But I think it's so true. Sometimes you put mm-hmm. unrealistic, you put unspoken expectations on people, and then when they don't arise to it, that's your reason for saying that it didn't work.
Right. You know, it's the thing about Devin calling out Shaq on diminishing Kirsten's efforts, because that's one thing that Shaq has been doing a lot. Because like, you can't put that expectation of what you want from her on her. Like, well, she came to this, but you didn't come to this one, which was more important to me. No, no, no. She showed her support this way, right? And this is the reason why. I remember when the five love languages, the first person introduced the five love languages, I was like, who actually pays attention to this shit? And then I actually read it. Because you didn't get a link to it, like five love languages. Who's gonna read this book?
Who's gonna read this? This is some bullshit.
And then, for some strange reason, I read it. I was like, oh, okay. All right. So people are actually different. No, you know, we're ignorant when we're young, man. I mean, so it's interesting to actually see that. And I think that's what Devin was trying to tell Shaq. And but when he said it, Shaq is looking at Devin like ninja. Is he trying to hit on my wife? Because the look he gave him was, I was like, yo, is Shaq now giving Devin the side eye? Like, hey, what you trying to do here? Don't make me look bad in front of my, I'm trying to get some more.
Shaq, just listen to him. I mean, again, this is the one time where I've gone off on Shaq this whole season. He says he wants to see her being invested in what he does, and wants you to see me doing my work. Like, mm-hmm. why mm-hmm. do you need to see her? Why do you need her to see you?
Yes.
At a recruiting event or speaking to a bunch of students or presenting your dissertation. Why do you mm-hmm. need her to see you do that?
Look, like Dallas Boss says, Shaq looks so irritated whenever he's being corrected. And it's something to be says, have you noticed Shaq rolls his eyes when the experts call him out? He wants Kirsten to take all the blame. I've been saying this for a while. I'm glad you're finally on my side, brother.
I'm not on your side. I'm just saying this episode, the way that Shaq has been portrayed episode after episode, this is the one that ticked me off where I'm like, Shaq, you don't need to have your girl at work at all. Go ahead and do your job. Let her girl sell some homes. Do something.
See, I just want to point out to Charles, this is not me, okay? Nubian says, Kirsten needs to stick a pacifier in Shaq's mouth and pat him on his back. All right, I'm sorry. I'm going to get off. I'm going to leave Shaq alone. Let's move on.
Yeah.
Chris and Nicole. And not a whole lot on these two this week. You know, and Nicole tells Chris that he shouldn't give her space when she says she needs it. He shouldn't give her that space in that moment. And just confuses poor Chris, man. He was like, so wait. So if you tell me, if I say this then yeah, give me some space. But if I just say, oh, I don't want to talk about it, don't let me just walk off on it. I'm like, he had no idea what she was talking about. He was lost.
Yeah, so here's what she said, because I wrote it down. If I say I need space or please let me have space, then that's what that means. But still ask to see if you can sit with me to help me process. That is the craziest crap I've ever heard in my life. I mean, we all know Chris I mean, Nicole has some issues and she definitely needs to talk to some folks, mm-hmm. but it is so draining. And like her emotional baggage is so draining. It doesn't shock me that someone in her past said, look, I'm not here to fix your emotional baggage. You go somewhere and take care of that and then come back. And the fact that she needs more validation and reassurance, mm-hmm. that would just, Chris loves her. I still see them staying together, but man, I would not have the patience to deal with that.
Well, you know, interesting thing about them, and as you hear, Adrian says, Nicole is ridiculous. Say what you mean, woman. You can't expect him to read your mind. She just needs to go to therapy. And I agree with that. But the thing is, and I think it was this week when they talked about the fact, like, it feels like, you know, he's always supporting her. And he goes, no, because I had a breakdown on the honeymoon. And mm-hmm. she was there for me. She took that. So you're right. I do see them sticking together because they're each other's emotional support animal. as I was about to say this, they're there to take care of each other. That's marriage. They're there to take care of each other.
So marriage is finding not your partner, your emotional support animal.
That's not the part I meant for you to take in that, but being there for each other. That's funny, though, because that's the exact same thing I would have said if I were in your seat.
No, I just wanted to clarify, is marriage finding your emotional support animal? Got it. Noted.
So Pascal meets with Chris and Nicole, because I noticed somebody asked earlier if Pascal was only meeting with the black couples. No, they asked if Devin was only meeting with the black couples. Pascal met with Chris and Nicole. And so apparently Devin only met with the black couples because they'd know who he is. But it's like, who's this guy? who is this guy? Why is he here?
Hey, sir, are you bringing towels? No, we're good.
We know Pastor Troy and that's it. No more playing GA. All right. Nicole is so in her head, though, man. She says, like, but he didn't pick me. I knew that would irk you.
She just does. I mean, hurry up and y'all get married and move on so we don't have to stop watching this and listen to this stuff anymore. Mm. But it's just painful.
High Vibe says they're the poster couple of codependence facts. Here's what came out of this, though. A nice moment. Chris tells Nicole that he loves her. And Nicole returns a confirmation. She's like, oh, you did? He's like, yeah, well, I've known that for a while. Well, why didn't you say it? Ah, Jesus, don't mess up the moment.
Because she's been waiting to hear that since day two.
Yes.
Remember on the honeymoon? Do you love me yet?
Exactly.
Do you love me yet? What about now?
Last thing before we get out of here, Nicole goes lingerie shopping with Kirsten. What'd you think of Kirsten showing her how to be sexy in the room?
No, not at all.
Why?
I don't find Kirsten sexy, but I think it's because I have someone in my head that she reminds me of that I don't like. So there's nothing Kirsten could do to make me look at her as sexy. But I'm just thinking to myself, don't show her how you want to be sexy. Let Nicole be her kind of sexy.
Well, she's just whatever
that
advice. Is.
And I'm glad that Nicole wasn't like, okay, I'm going to try to walk like you, because I bet she would look like a baby giraffe trying to walk for the first time if she tried to do that strut that she did. So
stop.
I'm glad that Nicole is going to be true to herself and just do her thing. But Kirsten, I'm just like, whatever. Yes, High Vibe, triggered. Every time I see her, I'm just like, I'm taken back to a memory.
Apparently, I know the person, so I totally understand why.
See,
that's why I laugh every time you talk.
Somebody's gonna put a super chat in and be like, "Terrell, tell the story," and I'll be like, "Well, Yanni."
Well, before we get to that, let's get to some of these other comments from earlier, just real quick. I do want to point out that something to be said earlier. I'm Team Kirsten. Something's wrong with Shaq. It's all about him, and he's never even asked what she needs. Boy, bye. Facts. Facts, because he hasn't done that. Somebody asked, Pat asked earlier, so does anyone know if Shaq is the only son, oldest or youngest in his family. I think they said he was the youngest, but he acted like he was the oldest.
Right. Yeah, right?
So he's always taking the lead as the young one. So there's that point. I do want to say that. And so profound thing, it says, I'm a stickler for grammar too. I'm not the only one. Terrell, thank you. And what?
And yeah, I just want you to reconcile, and Alpha agreed with you. you see how we all play in a sandbox with other people?
Oh boy.
You can learn a lot from myself, Charles, and Fowl.
Yeah, well, you know, I'll leave that part alone too.
I'll wait for your comeback. You're trying to come up with something.
I'm trying not to say what I want to say. And Keedy says no footage for me falling out the golf cart, which I know. And honestly, I would have shared it with you guys if I had it. I didn't. So before we get out of here, one last super chat. Thank you, Rochelle again. Says, why did Dr. Pepper reference driving Miss Daisy to Gina and Clint? What's next? 12 Years a Slave.
Yeah, I didn't understand that one.
I knew somebody was going to take it that way at some point when she did the whole driving Miss Daisy, right? And Dr. Pepper is 102 years old, so I can understand why she might use that. Well, that was about love. You know, I'll be honest, I've never seen Driving Miss Daisy. I've never watched it.
What?
No. So tell us about it.
It was a good movie. There was somebody named Miss Daisy, and someone gave her a ride. I didn't quite catch the reference, but Morgan Freeman does a really good job in the movie. I didn't really understand the reference, but I might have just glazed over it, so I just missed it. I have nothing on that.
You have nothing on it. Hey, sorry, Terrell. Angie hit us with a super chat. Says, I want the story.
I mean, I have no problem telling it.
Sharice says, Terrell, thank you for sharing and being vulnerable.
Hey, you're welcome. I think more men, we should do more of that and be vulnerable with each other. So I'm fine with it. I'll give a abbreviated version of the story. There was somebody that put me in a situation that was really uncomfortable, and it wasn't a romantic situation, at least for me, but put me in a situation that this person did something wrong. And in my house, and I had to like deal with the outcome of it. And every time I see her or someone that looks like her, it reminds me of that situation. And then when I confronted her with the person that she did the wrong thing, she's like, no, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm like, you're freaking lying. You are lying. And, you know, she messed over one of my fraternity brothers. So I'm just like, you were cheating. I caught you at my house. And it wasn't with me. So she put me in a bad spot. And so I've never liked her since. I don't think anything positive of her. You know, I hope she always feels like her right foot itches, but she can't scratch it. I just don't care for her that much.
Lucy says she blew up your bathroom? No. You know, I will say that was a very good, you know, glossed over version of the story.
I think that was a really good abbreviated version.
It really was.
Yeah. That was the Cliff Notes.
Good job. Hey, don't forget we're back tomorrow night right after the live reunion for Love is Blind. About 15 minutes after that's over, we'll be back on here. And we'll recap Love is Blind. That live reunion should be an interesting one. And then Monday, we are back with a whole new show. Back in the 90 Day Fiancé universe with Love in Paradise. I love this version of it just because, you know, it's based in the Caribbean. So I'm always going to love that one. So,
yeah, no, I'm looking forward to that. And it's giving me some vacation ideas. So I need to plan one. And I think I need to go back to someplace tropical.
Hey, let's make it happen, brother.
With it.
Yep. All right. So I'm Yanni Root.
I'm just Terrell.
Make sure you follow us at Yanni Root, at Just Terrell, and at RGRT Pod.
Yeah, send us some of your random thoughts or some of the bullshit from the internet. We'll talk about it on the show.
And since you're still here, make sure you click the like button. And if you're not subscribed, subscribe and hit the bell for notifications, okay?
Please, please, please.
It's the Regular Guys Random Show. Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast.
See, we're live, so there's no blooper reel. So we just got to run with that.
It's just what it is. It is what it is. Cheers.
Cheers. Work on your grammar.
I did work on the vodka. Kicked in.